You've heard the words open, fair, both sides of the story. It's easy to say them, but practicing them often seems like a bridge too far. New Zealand, it's time for a reality check. Reality check. RCR, Reality Check Radio. Rational discussion, common sense, and open debate for real. With me, Paul Brennan.
You know, you just can't make this stuff up. You couldn't write the script.
Veteran broadcaster Peter Williams.
Where is the evidence they actually make a difference? It turns out that was a very fair question to ask.
Taking on the mainstream, Chantel Baker.
Mainstream media, as usual, in their little perch.
The man who cares so much and whose background is for real, Rodney Hyde.
The doctors don't believe them. They can't get ACC. They can't work. They're told it's all in their head.
Along with a raft of contributors to inform, entertain, and bring the truth back to New Zealand media. It's time for a reality check, all right. RCR, Reality Check Radio at www.realitycheck.radio. We've arrived.
Rational discussion, common sense, open debate. RCR, Reality Check Radio with Paul Brennan.
Okay, so the audio you just heard was recorded by Leo Tilsley at Albert Park on Saturday morning. Leo was there reporting for Daily Examiner. I'm sure many of you have heard her name, seen her videos over the time. And she joins us on Reality Check Radio. Leo, that audio, I mean, obviously we heard it, but give us a bit more resolution of detail. What was actually going on as you were recording that audio and the time in and around it?
So at the time, and I was doing a live for the Daily Examiner. It seemed pretty peaceful. Well, okay, a new word for peaceful. It seemed relatively calm at the time I was filming. And so I was just walking around and just getting a sort of view of how people were. And we could tell that there was becoming more and more of a sort of a built up frenzy that was happening. I didn't in any way feel endangered at that time. And right. So just to be able to see how people, they were getting very loud. They had pots and pans and just whistles and blowing. And so as I was walking around.
Any pitchforks?
Well, you know what? They use their tongues.
All right. Okay.
So that was pretty.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the time, I sort of blended in a little bit, you know, just being this islander, you know, walking around and filming it until I walked straight into a young lady who was coming towards me, who was wearing a T-shirt, and it said woman on it and biological female. So as she came up to me, I started talking to her and I said, hey, brave of you to wear that T-shirt. You know, so you've got this T-shirt. I think you might be able to hear some of the things that I've said. What happened was the noise started getting louder and surrounding us. And all of a sudden it was us. We were the next ones, you know. And so because, you know, young, she's 23 years old, you know, brave of her to be standing there. I thought, you know, my mama bear instincts kicked in and I was like, oh, okay, hell no, you're not going to touch her. So I ended up being both of us where they were around us just, you know, literally forcing us to get out of the park. So they made a pathway for us to, you know, from behind to start pushing us towards exiting the park.
Yeah, that sounds scary. What was the feeling that was in the air then? It sounds like you know, a mob baying for blood almost.
Yeah. Yes.
So could you feel the intensity of their energy, you know, what they were transmitting out?
Poor. It felt like they were frothing at the mouth. They were like, who's my next person? Who else can we get? Oh, look, these two look, you know, like prime for that. You know, we because he wasn't a direction to what they were doing, and because they felt like they had pent up anger. I was like, why are you all so angry? They had to keep finding someone to, you know, to let it out on. And so we happened to be the next two that they saw as a victory to get out of the park.
You feel that they'd been sort of wound up. What's your theory on the wind up? It kind of just happened there over a few minutes or a half hour or whatever of gathering there. They must have come a bit preloaded, do you think?
100% preloaded. You know, we've got this Herald, you know, columnist who is saying, you know, that they're scared for their life. And
is that Chenille Lau?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, to come and possibly support, you know, what this could be. And because there was, like I said, there was no direction, anybody who it looked like they were different or may have had an opinion were then chased out of the park. And what happened at this point was the crowd was getting louder and bigger. And so two policemen showed up in front of us. And if it weren't for them, I guess we would have still been standing there and possibly it could have got worse. But they basically said to us that for our safety, that we needed to leave the park. And you know what that happens when somebody tells you what to do and you're like, this, we have every right to be here. You can't tell us what to do. We're not doing anything wrong. And they said, well, we can't guarantee your safety.
So that's an admission from them that they couldn't guarantee your safety.
No.
Yet we've heard reports, and I think it's pretty clear from what many people are saying, it's not just one or two, that there wasn't a significant or even an attempt at something that even looked like pointing towards significant police presence there, and that they somehow got caught on the run with it or hadn't anticipated what was coming, though anyone who knows anything about those sorts of protests, we've had plenty of them over the years, knows where it can go. And I think we're all trying to struggle for explanations for that. Is it incompetence, given that the main police base is a couple of k's away as the crow flies? They can be there in no time, and that they knew that the political, I don't know, controversy surrounding the decision to let her in, though that shouldn't have even been a decision that had to be taken, because that's what living in a free country is all about. What's your thinking on the police? You've had a bit of time to think about it now. Is it incompetence? Is it willful standoff to let chaos happen? I mean, I'm struggling with it. Any ideas?
So, okay, just to give you a little bit of context, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was invited to a private party. Was said it was a private party. We arrived there and there's 20 police officers outside because their license had expired or something like that. So they came and took all the alcohol away. 20 police officers, you know, with their full packs and everything at this place, you know. And so I think back now and I look at what happened yesterday. There was only a splattering of police officers, quite a few females that were there that almost didn't know what they were doing, to be fair.
Really?
You know, you sort of look over and you go, can I help? Like, are you guys going to do anything? to stand to look away. But this particular police officer, he looked really stressed. Like he was really stressed out about, you know, trying to, appease the anger of the crowd. Like, you know what happens when you're trying to appease them? Like it just gets worse.
And you feed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you start to feed it by, you know, they get louder because they want to get rid of you. But not at one time did he say, yes, you do have a right. And you know what? Actually, you stay here. We're gonna deal with this. No, they were the ones literally ushering us out.
Because they couldn't deal with it. Is that
because
what you're
saying? No, not at all.
But what sort of, was there any way of gauging the true attitude of, I mean, this is just one encounter, I know, but, you know, it's telling. Could you see, you know, professional frustration in the eyes of the police? Like, why have I been put here in this position?
Yeah, absolutely. The one who was constantly talking to us and, like, literally put his arm around us to, you know, take us, you know, to escort us out, he was... I could see a genuine frustration that this is where he's landed, where he's actually taking away the innocent people rather than those who are inciting violence, you know, swearing at us and, you know, doing the fingers and, you know, just like this kind of stuff. This is high school playground stuff. Why are we here?
Well, if you look at them, they look like they've just pretty well mostly freshly out of playgrounds of high schools. And, you know, people want 16-year-olds to have the vote. That's another story for another day.
I'd be interested in that story.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the bigger picture of this movement, as they were represented at that protest, counter-protest that you were at, that resulted in the person coming to speak getting basically for, and it was her thinking, her own safety out of the country. That's shameful for a start. But who are these people? Are they just sort of useless, what do they call them, useless idiots who have just been caught up in something? Or are these counter-protesters kind of possessed by themselves to a point where they really lost all rationality and are going, to me, it sounds like a bit crazy.
Yeah. Well, I've come across them before at the pro-choice rally that I attended, and there is this anger in their eyes, and I saw it like 10 times worse, this anger in their eyes that they, you know, they've found a purpose. And like I said before, this pent up anger has happened over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, this built up of we have to find a purpose. And yes, this is going to be the purpose today. We're going to make sure that that woman doesn't speak. And, you know, I really wanted the opportunity to actually speak to some of them. I wanted to say, why are you here? And why are you so angry? But I didn't get that because I was escorted out, and so I didn't actually get an opportunity to. But a lot of them, drugs, just the frenzy of so many people together who feel the same way in some way can really really build that pent-up anger to be released on somebody or some people. And I can really see how the people there that did want to have a different opinion were afraid. They were genuinely afraid for their lives, because this kind of anger is not something that most people have seen before.
Yeah, and leads to violence, and people can get seriously hurt.
Well, I'm really surprised that it didn't end up, because that's where it was. It was like the crescendo. It was like leading up to something that was, you know, wanting to explode yesterday.
Well, I suppose Kelly J. Keene Minchell, by leaving, probably sucked a bit of oxygen out of the room for them. I suppose they, at that point, they thought they had a victory, and that might have been, was that the sort of circuit breaker that?
Well, I wasn't even there when she was there. She came. I didn't realize. I'd wondered what had happened, where everybody was gathered around the actual podium, thinking, "Okay, did I miss half of this?" And they were all there shouting and whistling. But I did actually. I did a tweet today that I just felt it was really relevant, and I just want to share it with you.
Sure.
I said, "Dear Posey Parker, we came to hear you yesterday, but we realized something even more important. Your voice was heard in your stand. We stood with you, and we found our own voices."
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Just you saying that, recalling that tweet, has made me think that they outed themselves, actually. Before, people probably gave them the benefit of the doubt of being reasonable. To any thinking person in front of, you know, the population of New Zealand, who are very middle of the road, not at any extreme on either side, have seen them for what they are. Do you think?
100%. I think what happened yesterday was this, it just imploded. You know, them... You know, they're saying first that they were afraid for their lives. They were the bullies, and they wanted to be there to exercise not just their voice, but they wanted to exercise their dominance over the women. Right of women to speak.
That's incredible. That's just mind-blowing that it's come to that. I mean, you can imagine gang members being against gang members, or criminals, or pedophiles and all of that, you know. Yeah, but everyday women, crikey, it's insane.
Well, that's all we were. We didn't come any military style. We just came as we were.
You got to wonder what have their mummies been teaching them.
Well, are you sure it's mummies? Are you sure it's not the education system that has let all of everybody down over the last 20 years?
Yeah, that's a very good point, though. Still, a parental responsibility is to monitor that.
Yes.
I know it's not easy, but something's happened, right? You're saying something along the ways.
You know, the fatherless, you know, our fatherless generation, we've got no fathers to stand up and, you know, help support. You know, we cut down the pillars of our society, and then we have mothers bringing up children on their own. You know, where is the, you know, the breakdown of the family? It's costing, I think it was on the news a couple of weeks ago, you know, $1 billion a year or something on the breakdown of the family. Why don't we start on the structure of the family first and then work our way?
Unless you don't want to do that.
Unless that's not the point. That's right.
Hmm.
And then we have things like this, you know.
Okay. Well, it's been really fascinating hearing firsthand again. It's like I was almost there myself.
No, that's right.
I do know that park well. I used to walk to work through it every day, and I know every square millimeter of it. Well, not quite centimeter, maybe 1 meter. So I can visualize where everybody was. But it sounds like what an experience, and really hard to understand what happens next. Any ideas? Yeah.
I think this is just the beginning, to be fair, Paul. I feel like this is opening up something that's been festering for a long time. And I think it's time to deal with it. I think people need to see exactly where we are at with this generation. Like, what is it do we need to fix? Because something's incredibly broken.
Yeah, what is the issue? Because no one's saying you can't exist, even though they always saying that, you know, they could end up topping themselves if anyone says anything that might be construed as negative towards those sort of life choices. But, you know, they've got every right like everyone else. So I'm finding it hard to understand what the problem is here to be that mad about, or is it something else that we don't know about?
Well, I think this is going to be a continuing conversation, isn't it? Yeah. Because we just found out yesterday that women don't have many rights here. I mean, Posey Parker said it was the worst country she's ever seen for women's rights.
That's,
I mean, imagine that.
What about the young women who were there? What about the young women who were there? I saw young women chanting cult-like.
Yes.
It's not just the guys who are, I don't know what weird trip they're on, but it's the women as well, young women.
That was what I was most disappointed in, is so many women were there actually against women's rights. I don't get it. Well, no. You just chop, get your right hand and chop your left hand off. You know, despite your face. is that a...
Yeah, that's the term. I mean, I'm worried that some of these particularly young women are going to realize when they get older, oh my God, what was I thinking? What was I doing? And oh, geez.
We have either lost our voice yesterday or we found it.
Which one do you think it is? Or too early?
I think we've lost our voice, to be fair.
That's sad.
And I'm just saying that as a reality point. I didn't actually see a lot of people brave enough to actually come to the park that were not there with an agenda. There was a few, but I didn't see any. I don't know whether they all left or, you know, I had one of my friends say that she was too scared to get out of the car. I mean, I don't blame her, but, you know, there's...
Yeah, but if people don't have the courage to push back, what happens? And the other thing, I'm not, you know, going negative on females, but who was it who promoted the two-tier society?
Oh, I can't remember her name.
Sorry, I'm trying to forget.
But, you know, I mean, we
I mean, sisters are doing it to sisters. This is what I don't understand.
No, that's right.
Know? Yeah.
That's right. And so we, how do we fight back? If it's even against, you know, our own, how do we do it? We continue to have a voice, even if it's crackly. You still keep speaking out, because what else do we have?
And just to wrap up, what's your sense? Because you've done a lot of reporting. You've been in a lot of situations over this time. You've seen a lot. Where do you think middle New Zealand sits on this? Because my gut is, and what do I know? But, you know, there'll be people, who don't want to say anything. They want to stay polite, but they know that there's something wrong with this, and this is not the country that they thought they were living in, and this is going to go too far. And at some point, things do give. What's your sense of where middle New Zealand is?
If there was anything to go by, it was last February down in Parliament.
Yeah.
And we could see that people start, you know, there were so many people supporting it who went, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense. I feel that yesterday was part of the, it doesn't make sense. Why, if they were there to say that we have rights, were they able to dominate the whole thing and completely wipe out the whole idea of women even speaking? You know, so I feel like this was another wake up, and it may take a few wake ups, I feel, because we've had this for so many years. Paul, you would know it. She'll be right, mate.
Yeah.
She'll be right. So you continue on in your life, and well, as long as it doesn't affect me, I'll be fine. But hopefully, yes. And the problem is that mainstream media have such a huge, area where their people listen to. Like,
yeah, the reach.
The reach is, that's what I was trying to say. The reach is so huge that that's all they'll listen to and go, that's their fault for being there yesterday. So does that mean we don't get a chance then to listen to someone?
Here's an idea. We don't like what you say. We want you to shut down your media companies, please. We want you to cancel the Herald, end stuff, close down TVNZ, close down Radio New Zealand, close them down, because we don't like them.
You know, the disrespect of this next generation is really scary, Paul. You know, before we used to have at least a little bit of respect for our elders. There's no empathy left. No empathy. There was none in the atmosphere yesterday. None at all. For anyone.
Remember, Liel, be kind. Be kind.
You know, I'm taking back that word, okay? Kindness is something that actually is.
Don't give me that kindness crap. Anyway, really interesting to hear you describe the events and to hear your thoughts. And let's see what happens. It'll probably be a grindingly slow process to understand why the police acted the way they did. And there'll be all sorts of PR containment of fallout for politicians and everything in the weeks to come. But there's nothing like hearing it from someone who's actually there, saw the whole thing, yeah, and can measure it off against other things that you've seen as well. So thanks for coming on Reality Check Radio and telling us about your experience in Albert Park. Sounds like a song. In Albert Park, on an otherwise normal New Zealand Saturday morning.
I loved it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Rational discussion, common sense, open debate, RCR, Reality Check Radio with Paul Brennan.